We are thankful for this time together, and on our Wednesday night services, they typically focus more on teaching practical principles that we can use that will help us be better Christians and more like Jesus Christ. And so that is what we are going to be doing here tonight. One of the things that has set the Pentecostal movement apart from other denominational churches is the emphasis that we have on supernatural gifts of the Spirit. While there are some in the world who believe that these gifts were only for the apostles' day, we believe that these are gifts from God and that they are at work in the church today. And if they are not, they need to be. God does not change. His word, it remains tried and true. There's no teaching in the Bible declaring that the spiritual gifts promised by God for the church were only for the first century or the second or the third century. The Spirit of God that we receive when we are born again, it is the same Spirit that the apostles received on the day of Pentecost. It's the same Spirit that filled Paul after his experience on the road to Damascus. It's that same experience, it's that same power, the same calling that they had back in the New Testament. Now, in the last 50 or 60 years, there has definitely been an interest in spiritual gifts from people of every denomination. The charismatic movement has shown this, and sadly, there has been some who have attempted to abuse spiritual gifts. It was the same in the apostles' day, but the fact that we need to know today is spiritual gifts are in the Bible. They are gifts that are given by God to His church and special ministries and abilities that are to benefit the body of Christ as a whole. So just because there are some who have gone overboard or have even abused spiritual gifts, that should not cause us to shy away from them, because God intends for them to be working in His church, and they are very needed today. And so we are beginning a new series of lessons on spiritual gifts, which will identify the many spiritual gifts which are taught in the Bible and will hopefully give us a better understanding of them so we can recognize how God wants us to be working in the church and in life. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a desire of my heart. I want to see our church being the church that God has designed for us to be. We want to be a church that identifies very closely with that church that was in the New Testament, practicing and teaching the same things that they did. And we want to identify with the first church and the spiritual gifts that were very present in that day. And so they are very important for the church today if we're going to do the things that God has called us to do. So let's embark on a journey as we study spiritual gifts over the next few weeks. First of all, we want to provide an overview, and then we will look more in detail through further teaching. But spiritual gifts, while they do include the gifts of the Spirit, which are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those are not the only places, that's not the only place that spiritual gifts are mentioned. In fact, three passages of Scripture in the New Testament, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, along with 1 Corinthians 12, list some of the gifts that God has granted to the church. Romans 12 lists the abilities, the talents, or the functions that God gives to all believers. Okay, not just those who are preachers or pastors, but for the whole church. And every one of us has one or more of those gifts. They may be lying dormant, but we pray that God would reveal those to us through these lessons. And we will call these gifts in Romans 12 the service gifts, helping us serve in the kingdom of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see the special offices of leadership and ministry that God has given to the church. We know them as the fivefold ministry. And in these lessons, we'll call these gifts from Ephesians 4 the ministerial office gifts. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find the supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles that happen through the operation and the power of the Holy Spirit. These are known as the gifts of the Spirit. We will call these the supernatural gifts. So as we look at these three categories of spiritual gifts, the service gifts, the ministerial office gifts, and the supernatural gifts, I'd recommend that you follow along with me in your Bible and take some notes if you desire, so you can go back and study these later. We will be looking at three passages of Scripture: Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So first of all, let's look closer at the service gifts, which are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. We'll be reading Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us," and then he lists these, "whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Here we find the service gifts that God has given to the church, and we'll cover these more in detail in our coming lessons, but here they're listed: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling or leadership, and mercy. Each of these gifts are given to believers to use in the church, and they are very helpful in real life as well, whether it's at school or on the job or wherever else. We believe that each person in the church has a ministry, has giftings and abilities. We believe that God has given them, and we believers should seek to identify those gifts and to develop them to be used in the kingdom for God's glory. It's really sad that there are some who believe that all the ministry in the church should be performed by, well, just a few ministers or preachers, and that the rest of the church should just kind of just sit there and not really be active and not really be a part. They should just come to church services and sit on a pew and listen to the preaching and give their tithes and their offerings, and that's it. But as for ministry, they teach, well, that's just for the pastor. That's maybe just for a few select preachers in the church. I want to tell you, that idea is not scriptural. That is not biblical. And that is not what we believe or teach here at Harvest. We are not building a cult where there's a pastor who's the leader and then just all the followers that serve that one leader and do whatever that leader desires. And no, we believe that God wants to use the entire church, that God has given us each gifts and abilities to be a blessing to our church and a blessing to the world. And you see, the same Holy Ghost that fills my life, that's the same Spirit that you receive when you are born again and you speak in tongues. It's the same Holy Ghost that our youth are filled with. It's the same Spirit that our children receive. And we are all called to be used by God by that same Spirit. And when we are each born again of the water and of the Spirit, we become part of the body of Christ. And we all have a job to do. It's different for all of us, but we all have a part. And if one part of the body is not doing its job, it affects the rest of the body. And but when every part of the body is working together in sync and in agreement, and it's amazing then what God can do through that body. Amen. So I pray through these lessons that we would all realize the giftings that God has given us, that we would step up to the task at hand, the task of building the kingdom of God in all of our respective places in that kingdom, so that we wouldn't be lacking in any area, that there would be every talent and every ability and every gift, and so that every need would be met, and that the local body would be whole so that we can accomplish the work of God. Amen. Does anybody desire that? Does anybody want to be a part of that church? Amen. I want everybody who is listening or watching this, I want you to pay attention to this. Don't think, well, I'm just a young person, so this doesn't apply to me, or I'm not old enough, or I'm too old, or I don't have any talents or abilities. No, God has given every person in the body of Christ a place. You have a place, you have a purpose, and you have at least one of these service gifts: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, or mercy. Okay? So first we have the service gifts, and every believer has at least one of those to be of service in the body of Christ. And then we have the ministerial office gifts. God, he likes things to be done decently and in order. And he likes structure. He likes organization. Just look at his creation. He likes things to be properly put together. And that is the same for his church, which is why he has given the church the offices of the fivefold ministry. Now, we're going to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, where these five ministerial office gifts are mentioned by Paul. So let's read today in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are gifts that God has given to the church. Now, notice, they are for the perfecting of the saints. They are for the work of the ministry, and they are for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are leaders in the church. Specifically, they are preachers of the gospel, and some would call them ministers, even though everyone in the church is called to be a minister in some respect and involved in ministry. But these are preachers that God has given the church in order to perfect them and to prepare them for the work of ministry. They are to help edify the body of Christ. And these five are apostles, they are prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we will have a future lesson just on the fivefold ministry, or these five ministerial office gifts and their importance to the church. Next, we want to briefly cover the supernatural spiritual gifts. These are probably what we think of most times when we talk about spiritual gifts. They are the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to read about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is also Paul's writing. And if you'd follow along with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So these are the nine supernatural spiritual gifts: the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The thing to remember about these nine gifts of the Spirit is these are supernatural. These are not things that we can do through natural or human ability. These are not things that we can just study about and then reproduce out of education and experience. These things are supernatural. They are the works of God. Their operation is through His Spirit. And while they are each different, God is the author of them all. It's by the same Spirit. He is the one that gives them, and He is the one that performs the work through people that are filled with His Spirit. They are the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural spiritual gifts. So these are the three categories of spiritual gifts, and we're going to cover them each in more detail throughout these lessons. So the service gifts, listed in Romans 12, every member of the church has been given at least one or maybe more of these gifts, and they've given abilities by God in order to be a productive part of the body of Christ. The ministerial office gifts in Ephesians chapter 4 are God's gift to the church in order to equip them for the work God's called them to do. And then the supernatural spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, miraculous signs and wonders to do God's work in the church and in our world. Now, why has God given these gifts to the church? Was it just because He, you know, was feeling benevolent and just wanted to leave us with great ability and blessings? What is the ultimate purpose of the spiritual gifts that God has given to the church? And this is where a lot of people can go wrong with spiritual gifts, because they have their eyes on what these gifts can do for themselves. And they want to create a name or a kingdom for themselves instead of building the kingdom of God. Spiritual gifts, they were not given to us by God to make a name for ourselves. They are not given so that we can know everybody's business and read their mail and control others. That's not what the purpose is. They're not given so we can have revenge on our enemies. They're not given so that we can use them to get rich. There are some who desire spiritual gifts for those reasons, but they are not in the will of God. Do you remember Simon the sorcerer? Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he was preaching to them, and they had great revival. And people who were possessed with unclean spirits, they were delivered. Those who were sick, very sick, they were healed. And Acts chapter 8 tells us that there was great joy in that city. And that's something every city could use, great joy that comes with revival. And I believe God is bringing that to our area and to our city, great joy. And there's going to be a great and wonderful, wonderful revival of the Spirit. It's going to bring great joy to our area. But there was a man there in Samaria that was named Simon. And he had been a sorcerer. He had operated in witchcraft for a long time and had led the people of the city to think that he was very powerful. The Bible tells us that Simon believed. He started coming to church, so to speak. And if you read the account in Acts chapter 8, he started watching Philip, started paying attention to what he did. He wanted to see How did Philip perform these miracles of these signs that God was using him to do? And when Simon saw that the apostles would lay their hands on people and that they would be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, well, he came to them and offered them money so that he could have the same power to fill people with the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, he said, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Why did Simon want that power? No doubt he wanted the same honor that the apostles had. He wanted to be great. He wanted to continue the control and the influence that he had in the city before Philip came. Surely he would not have offered them money if he had not expected to use it somehow to make money. So that is not the purpose of spiritual gifts. They are not given to profit us individually, to build us a kingdom, to make us rich, and God's not pleased with those who would attempt to do so. James 4 and 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. This describes Simon. He had the wrong motive. He had the wrong idea. He was more concerned with his fleshly passion than he was the will of God. And I pray today that we can place our flesh on the altar, that we can repent before the Lord, that we can sacrifice our flesh and our will and our motives. We can sacrifice those things on the altar so that God is able to use us, because there is a great work that he wants us to do. Simon had held a great name among the people of Samaria for some time. The Bible says that he had bewitched the people of the city, and he had claimed that he was someone great. And when Philip came, he believed and he was baptized. And no doubt he was trying to build a good name then in the church. But Peter, through the discerning of spirits, he called him out because Simon's heart wasn't right. And there may be those who come into the church and on the outside, it seems like they have the right motives. They may act spiritual. They may say the right things. They may do all the right things, but their spirit isn't right. And they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And they want to use the gifts that God has given the church to build a kingdom for themselves, to profit themselves off the gift of God. And I want to tell you, they are hypocrites. They're just like the Pharisees of Bible days. And the thing is, that disguise will wear away and their true nature will come through eventually. And they will never be what God had called them to be, because their gifts weren't given to them to build them a kingdom. Those gifts, those spiritual gifts, have been given to the church to build God's kingdom. So it happened in the New Testament church, and there are those even today who have the wrong motives. They don't use the gifts that God has given for the right reasons. And knowing all of this, it does not mean that we should shy away from spiritual gifts, because the authentic moving of God's Spirit, it is still very needed in the church and in our world. People need this power. They need this anointing. They need the supernatural. And God will reveal those who don't have a right spirit. Don't you know that God has a way of protecting his church? Amen. He has a way of protecting his church, and he knows how to divide the sheep from the goats. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. God will handle those who abuse his gifts. But our job is to keep a right spirit. Amen. To have a right attitude, to have the right motives, to seek after God's spirit, that he would use us however he desires to build his kingdom. Amen. The ultimate purpose of spiritual gifts is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Just before Paul lists the 9 supernatural gifts of the Spirit, he says that they are given to each one for the profit of all. And then right after listing the nine gifts, he goes on to describe the church as the body of Christ with many different members, and each one is designed to work together for the benefit of the entire body. And so we see it's very clear, God has not given spiritual gifts to benefit individuals, but they are given to benefit the body as a whole. And while those gifts may, it may be a blessing to those individuals, the focus should be on what those individuals can then do to contribute to the church as a whole and to edify and to build up the church of God. In Mark chapter 16, verse 20, we read, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." I want to tell you, spiritual gifts, they do not replace the word of God. They don't take precedent over the word of God. The Bible is our authority. The Bible is our foundation. It tells us how to be saved. It tells us how to live. The Bible is the eternal word of God. And God will not let someone, he will not tell someone something that is contrary to his word. Spiritual gifts cannot alter what the word of God says, but they should confirm his word with signs following. Spiritual gifts do not also replace spiritual leadership in the church. And God has given the ministerial offices or the fivefold ministry to the church for the equipping of the saints. Specifically, he's given pastors to lead and to feed and to oversee the flock. And God is not the author of confusion. If someone were to announce, "Well, thus saith the Lord, I rebuke the pastor," that person would be out of order because God doesn't contradict his principles of authority. He does not give spiritual gifts in a way that causes confusion or division or rebellion. Now, trust me, if a pastor needs correction, God has a very good way of dealing with him directly. Trust me, amen. As a pastor, I know that very well. And God can use someone who has a right attitude to talk about a concern that they have in private with the pastor. And if a church is set up right, there are spiritual leaders who have the authority to deal with situations that come up. And this helps both pastors and churches. But spiritual gifts do not replace spiritual leadership in the church. God is not the author of confusion. God has given spiritual gifts to the church in order to bring him glory and to draw people to him, to strengthen and to encourage the church. God doesn't give these gifts to people for them to teach doctrine, to supersede spiritual authority, or to build a kingdom for themselves. When someone tries to use a spiritual gift outside of this, they are in error. And it could be that maybe that gift is actually, it's genuine, but it's misunderstood or it may be misused. Or it could be that it's counterfeit, that it's of the flesh or of the devil. But that's where we're to try the spirit. 1 John 4 and 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." We can avoid that by focusing on the true purposes of spiritual gifts. God does not give them as a new source of authority in our lives, but he gives them for our edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. And ultimately, spiritual gifts should bring glory to God. Praise the Lord. In conclusion today, when we read our Bible, we read it by books and by chapters and verses. But did you know that the original writing did not include chapters and verses? Each book was written without any breaks from the start to the end. And chapters and verses were added later for the sake of convenience. And they are quite helpful, but sometimes we have to remember this when studying and interpreting the Word of God so we can be sure to get the entire context. 1 Corinthians was written as one letter by Paul to the church in Corinth. And in chapter 12, which we covered briefly today, he lists the 9 gifts of the Spirit. The last verse of chapter 12 reads, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And then Paul goes right into chapter 13. Listen to what he writes. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." Spiritual gifts are a wonderful and amazing gifts from God to His church to help us and to build us up and to enable us to do God's work. But if we don't have love, we have nothing. If we don't have love, we have nothing. Yes, there are people who have abused spiritual gifts. There are those who have even been hateful in the way that they've misused the gifts that God has given. According to Paul in the same letter, though, if we have not love, it doesn't matter if we can speak in tongues or if we can prophesy or have all wisdom and knowledge and faith and all of those things. If we have not love, we are nothing. If we desire to be used of the spiritual gifts from God, I believe the first thing we need to do is to pray that we would know the love of God. Amen. We need to know the love of God, and that then we would be a reflection of that love for all the world to see. And if we will have love, then God can add these spiritual gifts to our life, and His love will enable those gifts to be used for all the right reasons, and God will get the glory. Praise the Lord. I wonder if you'd pray with me. Let's pray. God, help us to know you. Help us to receive your love and to be a reflection of that love so that you can use us as you desire to do and it would bring you glory. Would you pray with me today? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have made for us. We thank you, Lord, that you took our sins upon you. You who had known no sin, but you became sin for us. You loved us enough that you died for us. You shed your blood for us that we could be set free from sin. I thank you for that love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend. And Lord, you laid your life down for us. I thank you for that love. I pray that you'd help us to know that love, to receive that love. And God, let us be a reflection of that love to others. Lord, when we meet people in our world, I pray that you let them just feel your love flowing through our lives. Let them know that something is different about this. Let them feel the drawing of your Spirit. Let them feel the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Let them feel your love through us, oh God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we show your love to this world. God, I pray that you'd help us to develop the spiritual gifts that you have given us. Not, Lord, to build us a kingdom, not to make us somebody in this world, but, Lord, that it would lift up you, that it would build your kingdom, and that you would receive the glory. I pray for every person that is watching tonight. I pray that your anointing and blessing would be upon them. Help them, Lord, to identify the gifts that you have given them and help them to develop those so that the body can be whole and every part of the body can be functioning and we can do the work that you have called us to do, the great work that there is in our city and in our area, in our world. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're so thankful for this wonderful time together. I want to tell you, there's great expectation for what God is doing. Amen. And all of you, there's so much talent and ability. You have gifts from God. Amen. And I want to see every single person that's connected with our church using those gifts to the fullness of your ability, and that God would receive the glory and that his kingdom would go forward. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. We look forward to seeing you again soon, and God bless you.